for tonight's Camel Show, starring Bud Abbott and Lou Costello.
Put away that bag of popcorn and stop eating. All you do is eat. You're getting fatter every minute.
I am not getting fat. Everybody says I'm getting slim as an eel.
You're getting slim as an eel?
Sure, when people see me, they say, here comes Costello. What a slim eel. Hey, Abbott, besides, I don't want to get fat. Getting fat is expensive.
Oh, how can getting fat be expensive?
Well, I got a battleship tattooed on my chest. And every time I gain 10 pounds, I got to put on another lifeboat.
Oh. Let me talk sense. Just look at you. How did you get that lump on your head? And all those bruises on your face?
Well, last night I called on the little redhead that lives next door. Yeah. And she told me to take her in her arms and forget everything.
And did you?
Yes. I forgot that the lights were on, the shades were up, and her father was in the next room.
Costello, you've got to stop chasing after every girl you see. Do you want to become a masher?
I wouldn't mind being a masher if I could pick my own potatoes.
I lied. Look, what were you doing at this little redhead's house?
Oh.
You told me you had a date with Marilyn Maxwell.
Well, I did have it, but Marilyn busted it. She didn't want to go out with me no more. She says we're intellectual opposites.
You and Marilyn are intellectual opposites?
Yep, she's intellectual and I'm the opposite.
Well, I don't blame Marilyn. You've been taking up her time for a whole year, and you've never proposed to her.
Oh, I did propose to Marilyn Abbott, but her answer had a string to it.
Her answer had a string to it?
Yeah, she told me to go fly a kite.
You don't know how to propose to girls. You've got to make them think they are everything, and you're nothing.
I tried that too, Abbott. I said to her, Marilyn, I am nothing. I have nothing. I can't give you nothing.
What did she say?
Nothing.
I can straighten it out. Where did you propose to her?
Well, in a lunchroom, we were eating meatloaf.
Ah, no wonder Marilyn keeps turning you down, proposing to a girl over a plate of meatloaf. You should take her out and gaze at the stars. The skies are full of things we know nothing about.
So is meatloaf.
Oh, hello there, boys.
Why, it's Marilyn Maxwell.
Marilyn, Marilyn, my love, Marilyn. Come put your arms around me.
Like this, Louis?
Yes, now hold me tighter. Tighter. That's it. Just hold me.
Okay. How long do you want me to hold you?
For 30 days. If nobody calls for me, I'm yours. Well, I got the next line. Excuse me. Well, Marilyn. Marilyn, when I'm close to you like this, I can't seem to break away. Something keeps snapping me back.
Is it long?
No, you're standing on my garter.
Hey, Costello, you seem in a good mood. Why don't you pop the question again?
Huh? Okay. Okay. Marilyn, you know how I feel about you. I don't know how to say this, but do you think that two people could live on $75 a week?
What are you talking about, Louis? I make that much myself.
That's what I'm talking about.
Oh, no, Louis. The man I marry must be romantic.
Well, ain't I romantic? Didn't I come to your house Sunday night and bring you a big box of Cracker Jacks?
Yes. Didn't I? Then you held my hand, and I held your hand, and then you held my hand again. Is that any way to make love?
No, but do you know a better way to make a box of Cracker Jack last all night? No, I'll prove to you that I can really make love. I'll give you a real burning kiss that will set you on fire.
All right, Louis, give me a real burning kiss.
There. How was that?
You better throw another log on the fire.
Well, oh, gee. Did you hear that, Costello? Oh, Marilyn is not the girl for you. She's a nice girl and all that, but she's snobby.
Oh, yes. I mean, what'd you say?
I said Marilyn's snobby.
She is not snobbish. She's an American just like you and me.
No.
Don't call Marilyn snobbish when she ain't.
No, I know you dummy. I mean, she's snobby. She's aloof.
Make up your mind, Abbott. Is she snobbish or aloof?
Oh, about 50-50. I'd say she was half snobbish and half aloof.
Well, a half aloof is better than none.
No. Costello, you're talking about a loaf. I'm talking about aloof. Marilyn is aloof. She's well-bred.
How do you like that? Now Marilyn is a loaf of bread. Next thing you'll be telling me, she's a jelly donut.
Oh, Costello, will you listen to me? I'm trying to describe Marilyn's character. Haven't you noticed how she goes about with perspicacity?
Good. When did she start going with Percy Cassidy?
No.
Percy Cassidy is still going steady with Cynthia Rosenblatt.
No, you idiot. Perspicacity is not a person. Perspicacity means a distinction. Anyone can have perspicacity. You have perspicacity. Therefore, you have distinctness.
I got what?
You have distinctness. Distinctness.
You don't smell so good yourself.
Stop that. I said you have distinctness. You are distinguished. Or, as they would call you in French, distingué.
Did I have that again? In French?
In French. Certainly. That French, you see, the French change the last two syllables. In English, it's distinguished. In French, it's distingué.
Abbott, they don't speak French in Patterson. And everybody there used to call me distingué. Hey, distingué!
I tell you, you're impossible. Merle Maxwell is smart to keep away from you. It proves she's astute.
Yes. It. Could I have the last one again?
Astute.
Astute. Abbott, I'll stoot all I'm going to stoot from you. I can't stoot anymore.
Look, Costello, will you listen to me? When I say Marilyn is aloof, I'm not talking about a loaf. Aloof is a mark of character, like distinctness. And a person who is distinct has perspicacity. And perspicacity makes one astute.
Oh, when you say aloof, you're not talking about a loaf.
No.
Aloof is a mark of character, like distinctness. And a person who is distinct has perspicacity. And perspicacity makes one astute.
Now you're in there pitching.
I may be in there pitching, but the batter is knocking my brains out.
Gee, Abbott. I've been talking to Merlin and she turned me down again. Life means nothing without her. I don't care what happens.
Costello,
now.
Costello, put that gun down. It might go off.
I don't care.
But it's pointed at me.
That's why I don't care.
Listen to you, dummy.
Atta boy, skinny!
Now, wait a minute. Listen to me, you dummy. You can win Marilyn by impressing her. She's impressed with by celebrities. So all you have to do is become famous. Get your name in the paper.
I know what I'll do, Abbott. I'll start a fight with you.
No, fighting with me won't get your name in the paper.
That's heroes.
No, look. Costello, will you... Listen to me. To get into the papers, you've got to get... Will you listen to me?
I'm listening!
I want to get your face in the papers. But you've got to get mixed up with somebody big.
Okay, then I'll fight Joe Louis.
You're not afraid of Joe Louis?
No, Abbott, I'm not afraid of Joe Louis.
Well.
I'll go right up to him and I'll say, Joe Louis, put up your joke. I ain't afraid of you. I'll knock your block off. That's what I'll say to Joe Louis. Through that little slit in my armored car.
You talk sense, Costello. Now, look, if you want to become famous and get your name in the papers, you'll have to hire a publicity man. A man who will think up ways of getting your face before the public.
How can he do that?
Well, he might get all the bakeries to stamp your picture on all their soda crackers.
Oh, no, he won't. I ain't going to have kids all over the country slapping peanut butter and jelly in my kitchen.
Come on, Costello. I'm taking you to the best publicity man in Hollywood. When he gets through publicizing you, Marilyn Maxwell will come to you on bended knees.
Oh, yes. Yes, she will.
Yes.
Oh, boy, leave me to him.
Yeah, no. Here's his office. Let's go in.
Well, gentlemen, I'm Brown, the publicity man. The second most famous Mr. Brown in the country. Number two brownie, they call me. As the bandit said when he stuffed the paper towel in his victim's mouth, anything for a gag. Now, what can I do for you?
You can take that gag you stuffed in the victim's mouth and drag it over to Tom Brenneman. It's old enough to get an orchid. This guy must be writing for Fred Allen.
Oh, quiet, Costello. Mr. Brown, could you think up a stunt that would make Costello famous overnight?
Oh, yes, I've got just a stunt for Costello. It's never been done before. I'll have him sit on a flagpole.
Wait a minute. Lots of guys have sat on flagpoles.
At half mast?
Oh, no. You call that a publicity stunt? My Uncle Mike in Patterson played a game of poker with a TWA hostess while sitting on the wing of a plane going to Honolulu.
Clipper?
Yes. He beat her out of a few bucks.
Mr. Brown, don't you have some sensational stunt that Costello could do?
Oh, yes, indeed. As the doctor said when he slapped the newborn baby, this will open your eyes. Costello, I'm going to have you jump off the Golden Gate Bridge. Oh, what a stunt. I can see you now. You're standing on the rail of the bridge.
That ain't me.
Now you're all poised to make your leap.
That ain't me.
A crowd gathers to watch you, and suddenly there's a loud scream, and a man faints.
That's me.
Abbott, get me out of here.
Costello, calm yourself. Mr. Brown will think of something.
Yes.
I don't want to go around the world.
Quiet.
Oh, and listen, as the mailman said to the lady with a measles sign on her house, You've got something there. As you boys know, Milton Reynolds holds the record for flying around the world in airplanes. Now, Costello, you're going to break that record. Tell me, have you had any experience in the air?
Oh, sure. During the war, I was an ace. I destroyed 19 planes.
Costello, you destroyed 19 planes?
I could never get those darn things off the ground.
Well, Costello, if you will pilot a jet plane around the world in record time, you will be the most famous man in the history of aviation.
Think of it, Costello. You'll be a hero. Marilyn Maxwell will throw herself at your feet. She'll adore you.
Abbott, I'll pilot that plane around the world on one condition. I'll have to have 2 saxophones, a banjo, 3 trombones, and a piccolo in the cockpit with me.
What for?
I fly by instruments.
Well, Costello, get yourself a sponsor with plenty of money to pay for the plane and finance the trip, and I'll see you at the airport tomorrow.
Okay, Mr. Brown. Goodbye.
Where are we going, Abbott?
Well, we're going to see Mrs. Wetwash and get her to sponsor your trip around the world. She's the only one we know who's loaded with money. She's got plenty of the long green.
She's got a few of the long red ones, too.
All right, never mind that. Knock on the door and see if she's home.
Oh, well, hello there, Mr. Abbott. My, I wonder why the butcher left that tub of lard on my front porch. It's Costello.
Mrs. Wetwash, I wish you hadn't said that. I was just telling Abbott what beautiful hair you've got.
Oh, thank you. And did you notice the little white ribbon in my hair?
Oh, is that a ribbon? I thought it was a price tag.
That was very funny, Costello. Why don't you go over to the ostrich farm and show the big birds what a real egg looks like?
I love to see you laugh, Mrs. Wetwash. Your teeth sparkle so.
Well, they should. I see my dentist twice a year.
Yes. One for each tooth.
Cut that out, Costello. Mrs. Wetwash. Costello is going to fly around the world as a publicity stunt, and we'd like to have you finance the trip. You know, be Costello's sponsor.
What's the matter? Did the camel people finally get wise to him?
Please, Mrs. Wetwash. I gotta make that trip. I gotta become famous. If you put up the money, I'll give you my personal note.
Oh, very well. I'll loan you the money. But I'll bet you don't pay me back until I'm 60.
Abbott, you want the money back in 3 days.
All right. Quiet, Costello. Mrs. Wetwash, make out the note and Costello will sign it.
Oh, very well. I promise to pay Mrs. Winifred Wetwash $10,000. There you are, Costello. Just sign your John Hancock on this line.
My what?
Your John Hancock.
I'm John Hancock? Mrs. Wetwash, don't you know me? I'm Lou Costello.
Well, I know you're Lou Costello. All I want you to do is sign that note.
Okay, I'll sign it for a minute. I thought you didn't recognize me.
Oh, quit stalling. Sign your John Hancock on that note.
Abbott, call for the police.
What for?
This woman is deliberately and with molasses aforethought attempting to entangle me into computing a felony.
How can you say that? How can you say that?
It's easy when you don't know what you're talking about.
You're John Hancock. I don't mean you're John Hancock. I mean when you sign Lou Costello, that is your John Hancock, even though you're Lou Costello.
Oh, you mean when you say you're John Hancock, you don't mean you're John Hancock. You mean when I sign Lou Costello, that's my John Hancock. Even though... Why don't they make it bigger print?
Now you're cooking with gas.
Well, I may be cooking with gas, but somebody keeps blowing out my pilot light.
Hey, Costello. I've been looking all over the airport for you. I hope you picked a good fast plane for our trip around the world.
Abbott, I got a real fast plane. Last night I tested it out, and it went 200 miles an hour.
200 miles an hour? That's not fast.
I know, but today they're going to put in the motor.
You idiot. I don't know why I'm going on this trip with you. You know absolutely nothing about airplanes.
I do, too. I worked in an airplane factory during the war. I used to put girdles on P-40s and make them into P-38s.
No. When did you put girdles on airplanes?
During the Battle of the Bulge.
Yeah, dummy, this is a very important flight. No, we've got to beat Reynolds' record. Get your name in all the papers that make you a hero in Marilyn Maxwell's eyes. We're taking off in a few minutes. Have you checked all the equipment?
Yes. It's all in the plane. I got the altimeter, the velocimeter, pressure meter, and a pair of pink tights.
What are the pink tights for?
I want to look nice when I'm coming down the runway.
Hiya, fellas.
Hiya, Skinny.
Hiya, Skin.
Skinny, we're about to take off on a trip around the world. Costello is going to try and set a new record.
Well, that's good. I'm just about to take off myself on a solo flight.
If you're going up in a plane,
What are you doing with that big can of maple syrup? Oh, I always take that along in case I have to make a pancake land. Hey, Abbott, did you hear that? He takes syrup along for a pancake landing. Wasn't that a waffle joke?
No, I...
We've got to get him some batter jokes.
All right, now, shut up.
Hey, here comes one of those women reporters. She probably wants an interview.
Well, if it isn't Mr. Orbit and Mr. Costello, you fought, little Mon, you.
Well, miss, I suppose you're here to interview Costello.
Yes. I write all the ocean articles for Collier's Magazine.
Collier's Magazine?
Oh, Abbott, you know what Collier's Magazine is. That's a publication like Loop, Pook, Plook, and Rooter's Doojus.
My, isn't all the ocean enchanting? I'll bet you're anxious to hope out for Africa in your stratoloner.
No, I'd rather be booping a loon in a gruhoon boost to Kookamoo-goo.
Well, bon voyage. I must be dashing off. As we say in Spanish, you're a mañana usted para cuta la vista to you.
And your mother's busted parachute in the kisser of you, too.
Got everything arranged for your trip. What a publicity stuff this is going to be. I telegraphed to the mayor of New York, and the people are getting ready for you to fly over the city.
What are they doing?
Taking down the Empire State Building.
Wait a minute, Costello.
Why have you got your goggles around your neck?
Doctor's orders, Abbott. He told me to goggle my throat.
No, quiet, Costello.
Look, they're waving the starting flag. Come on, let's get into the plane.
Control tower to the Lou Costello jet plane. Runway 4 is clear for your takeoff.
Costello, flip that switch and answer the control tower.
Okay.
Costello to control tower. We're ready for the takeoff.
Roger.
Lewis.
Come on, Costello. Start the motors. We're on our way. Costello, we're not moving. There's something wrong.
I'll check it, Abbott. I found a trouble.
What's holding us back? Is it the motors?
Nope. There's a piece of chewing gum stuck under the left wheel.
Costello, boy, we're climbing fast. This plane can really travel.
Control tower to jet plane. What is your altitude?
50,000 feet.
Roger.
Lewis.
Hey, Abbott, it's getting kind of chilly in here. Would you take the wheel a minute? I'll be right back.
Where are you going?
I'm going to climb out there on that wing and turn off one of those big fans.
Fans! Get back here, you idiot. That's the propellers.
Control tower to jet plane. State your position.
I'm the comedian on a camel show.
No. Oh, you dummy. He wants to know the position of the plane. Check your compass.
Oh, I get it. Jet plane to control tower. We're flying due east.
Due east?
Roger.
Lewis.
Lewis? What's that guy think I am, a jerk?
Roger.
Lewis! I'm glad I straightened that out.
Costello, are you sure you laid in the course route right? Better check your charts and see where we are.
Okay, Abbott. Uh-huh, this looks strange. Hey, Abbott, could you lend me a couple of bucks?
Before?
According to my figures, we're right in front of the $2 window at the Hollywood Park.
Oh, you're nuts, Costello. That's impossible.
At the far turn, it's Barney B in front. Little Beaver a second. 5-gay Fox coming up fast on the inside.
Hey, turn off the radio, you idiot. Now, keep the plane on the course. Keep the throttles open. I'm going to take a nap. Don't call me unless you need me.
Hey, Abbott! Abbott! Hey, Abbott, wake up! We're running out of gas.
All right, Costello. I'll take the controls and we'll make a landing. All right, Costello. Jump out and let's see where we are.
Hey, Abbott, just as I thought, we're lost. We're lost in a strange land.
My, this is a peculiar-looking place. Look, there's something moving over there. It's a native. Question him. And see if he can find out what country this is.
Okay. Hey, you. Me, Costello. Me fly great airplane around the world. Me lost. Could you tell me what strange land me in?
You're in Glendale, you jerk.
Hey, Abbott, we made it. Glendale.
Yeah. Hey, look. Here comes Mr. Brown, our publicity man.
Well, Costello, I want to congratulate you on your magnificent achievement. You have made a great contribution to science.
You mean I've flown around the world in the shortest time?
No, but you went from Los Angeles to Glendale in the longest time. Think of it, 67 hours to go 3.5 miles.
Did you hear that, Abbott? It only took us a half hour longer than the Glendale bus.
Oh, get him out.